So a game changer. What actually is a game changer? It's like an event, perhaps a procedure, a new way of thinking, an innovation that seriously changes dramatically the way something is done moving into the future. Let's think about all the technological game changes that there's been over the years. The Model T Ford, 1912, invented by Henry Ford, that actually started cars becoming mass-produced so that they became more affordable to the ordinary American. Of course, that's totally transformed and game-changed the way that people get around. There at the bottom there, we have a 1981 IBM computer. Total game-changer. The way everyone pretty much works today involves these. And I don't think we can say too much about the iPhone and smartphones. They have been literal game changers. What about people in history who have been game changers? One unusual one up there in the corner that's a personal favourite is James Dyson. Does anyone here have a Dyson vacuum cleaner? They're perhaps a touch on the pricey side. But we were introduced to them a number of years ago by a friend of ours, and we got a sample one to try, and we fell in love. This bagless revolutionary vacuum cleaner where you can actually see what you've vacuumed up. You can see how dirty your house is. And let me tell you, Craig loves it. He'll often come in and show me what he's vacuumed up. It's been a game changer. Mark Zuckerberg there in the middle, he's been a huge game changer in the way people communicate. He's the founder of Facebook. And on the far there is a guy called Roland Macy. And for anyone that knows anything a little bit about America, he invented the Macy's, or founded Macy's department stores, which again was a total game changer in the way people shopped. People weren't used to going into a store and being able to get multiple things and such variety. Total game changer. And then sporting moments, heaps of great sporting moments where we can identify as being game changers. If you're a bit of an NFL fan, which some people in my family are, that pass up there is called the Hail Mary. And this came into being in about 1975 in a Dallas Cowboys match. And it's kind of a pass that's thrown literally in the dying seconds of the game when, like, everyone's out of options and a touchdown's needed to be scored. This sort of pass, a Hail Mary pass, can be an absolute game changer. The Australian cricket team, and last year we were all shocked by finding out that some of the players hadn't been honest in the way that they were playing the game. That has been a huge game changer in cricket in Australia and the way it's administered. And then video refs. Haven't they been game changers? Third umpires, etc. We can now often know for certain if someone's in or out, if the ball, like in tennis, is in or out. Total game changers here. Well, this two men that the guy in the video, Carl Faze, was talking about, called Skinner and Ward, these computer statistician scientists who decided to find out who the most influential person in history is, did this massive statistical study. They are not Christians, they're not religious people. This is solely based on data and discovering that it is indeed Jesus of Nazareth who was the most influential person in history. Now, as we saw, Jesus doesn't have this huge set of credentials behind him. He was poor. He didn't have any wealth behind him. He didn't have this huge mass of followers or some great army. In fact, we actually know that he only had 120 followers when he passed away. Not really very many at all. We know that he wasn't powerful in terms of the way that the Roman emperors of the day were. And if you had asked people at the time who would be remembered most after they died, would it be the Emperor Caesar or would it be Jesus? No one would have said Jesus. There was no one less likely to be considered one of the most influential people in history. Yet, despite his lack of credentials, he does remain the most influential person. Jesus has been an absolute game changer. So we're going to unpack a little bit more about this person of Jesus today. Jesus actually really was a person in history. There are some, perhaps, who like to claim that he just never existed at all. But historical records and data prove that he really did exist. Now, many of the writings about Jesus actually date back to only a couple of decades after his life on earth. And not only that, these stories of Jesus, of course, they're so close to when he was around. They're actually kind of full of incredible details about the life of Jesus. Now, if we compare the fact that there's this material available about Jesus, who died in around perhaps AD 27, something like that, we compare that to the historical figure of Julius Caesar. Now, he died in 44 BC. He had incredible power. He had armies behind him, and his army kind of basically took over what we know today as France and Belgium and Western Germany and Northern Italy, etc. He was huge, okay? Huge on the world stage. Yet, the first actual writings that are in existence about him actually don't appear until 900 AD, almost 1,000 years after he died. The first actual writings about him, okay? Not only that, there are very few copies of these sorts of manuscripts available. Now, we want to juxtapose that to Jesus, okay? When he died, only a couple of decades later are the first manuscripts about his life in existence. And not only that, there are literally thousands and thousands of copies of these and partial copies in existence today. Wow. Who would you have thought might have had the most influence at the time? Now, not only that, but people who didn't follow Jesus actually even wrote about him. And there's a couple of names there of historians and record keepers at the time, not necessarily followers of Jesus at all, but people who just kept breath and would write down what was happening in their world at that time. All these people wrote about Jesus. They wrote about the early church. They wrote about Jesus' followers. Why would they do that if he wasn't a real person there at all? Well, secondly, what we also know about Jesus was from those who desperately wanted to write about his life and his story. These were essentially the people who were closest to him and eyewitnesses to what had taken place. Now, when I did a little intro earlier about this series, I mentioned those books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these were written by some of Jesus' closest disciples. He had sort of 12 inner followers. And these were written by these guys, perhaps except for Mark. Forgive me about that one. So they're quite extraordinary, the way that they detail his life. And the reason they wanted people to know is because they thought it was just so remarkable. They thought his teaching was extraordinary. They thought his miracles were amazing. And they wanted as many people to know about him as was possible. So we've got a few Bible passages here that sort of support that, because when they write, some of these people actually identify why they write that. So you can see this here, these verses are from a guy called Luke. He writes two books in the New Testament, Luke and Acts, and he was a physician, and he gave an example there as to why he actually wrote this account about Jesus. And he does it again here. He wants to write an account. Okay, so that at the end there you can see, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. There's also John, and he says very clearly as to why he wants to write an account of Jesus as well. There was purpose behind their writings. They weren't just randomly written. They weren't doing a job that they had to because they were employed by the government to write the history of the nation. No. They wanted to be certain that what they were communicating was real and true. Thirdly, those that followed Jesus gave their life, okay, for what they believed. Now, some people perhaps have suggested that Jesus' followers actually added the details of his death and resurrection after the fact, perhaps hundreds of years later. And there are some that say, well, you know, Jesus, he existed. He's a good teacher, and perhaps that's about it. He was a good person, but he was just ordinary guy. It was actually maybe the church who later on invented these stories to kind of add to the legend of Jesus at the time to make him seem more remarkable. Well, if someone has these arguments about Jesus, there's a couple of options and ways that they can be considered. Perhaps his followers actually made up the story? Well, I guess that's a thought. But as I mentioned, there's these 12 disciples that Jesus had, his sort of inner circle. At the time of his death, there were 11 of them still following Jesus. But only one of them ended up dying of natural causes. It's pretty extraordinary. A question one must ask then is, why would these 10 guys, okay, lived a life suffering tremendous persecution and dying as martyrs if they did not believe what they had seen and were taught? It doesn't really make sense. Another option is that these followers of Jesus added these stories later on just to, you know, create this legend about Jesus and make his story seem more interesting. You know, when people say, don't miss a good story with facts, okay, maybe they were coming from that angle. Well, the problem with this argument is essentially what Beck read from 1 Corinthians. Now, those verses which talk about the early church's beliefs in Jesus' death and resurrection, the issue is that book in the Bible was only written 25 years after Jesus had died, and that can be accurately brought back to those dates. So if that argument is valid, it's actually not true, because this book validates what the church was believing really, really early on. It cannot be something that was added literally hundreds and hundreds of years later. And finally, Jesus did not start an ideological movement to change society. Jesus changes lives one person at a time. This Jesus, the Game Changer series, looks at the impact that the life and the teachings of Jesus have had on the foundational values, essentially, of Western nations. But this can lead to perhaps an assumption that these ideas then changed the world and brought in sweeping societal changes in our behavior, in our ethics, in beliefs, etc. But this is actually a false assumption. Because while Jesus' teachings actually did change societies, it started when he changed lives, one person at a time. Carl, in that video, talked about this guy in the Bible, Paul, who was a terrible persecutor of anyone who followed Jesus. And yet Jesus became the game changer in his life. And he went on to start many, many churches and spread the good news of Jesus and change society. William Wilberforce, to name another incredible person, he was responsible for leading the English government in the 19th century to abolish slavery. But this all happened because Jesus changed his life. And because of Jesus changing his life, he went on to change society. Well, what about this person, Melinda Blanford? Jesus is changing lives, literally one person at a time. This series demonstrates the life and teachings of Jesus, but we never, ever want to lose sight of the fact that Jesus changes people's lives simply one person at a time. And he wants to change your life when you are ready for that. Jesus is the most influential person in history. He is a game changer. And the question is, what do you want to do about that? Because when you have this knowledge, you actually then essentially have four choices that you can make with this knowledge. You actually have the choice to do nothing. You can remain, basically ignore the claim and remain indifferent. And ignoring it and doing nothing is actually a choice. Secondly, you have the choice to reject this claim. You can say that it's not true, but you better have some good arguments and done some serious research behind you. You have the choice to get to know Jesus more. Some of you here are thinking, whoa, I'm just really early learning on about Jesus. I'm just not sure. And that's awesome because this is an excellent series for you to unpack a little bit more about who Jesus is. Encourage you, get into the Bible, read about his life, see how he is a game changer. This will be a great series for you. And finally, you have the choice to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God, and choose to worship and follow him. But this last choice comes with a warning or a disclaimer. Because if you choose option four here, it will change your life forever. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you treat people. It will change the way you spend your money. It will change the way you raise your children. It will change the way you approach your work. It will change your ethics, your values, your morals. It will be a total game changer in your life. I can guarantee that. And most importantly, it will change your eternity. And you will get to spend a lifetime in heaven with Jesus. Some of you are thinking, well, Jesus has been the game changer in my life for a long time now. And that is awesome. But you know what? Jesus just doesn't change our life once. Jesus changes our life every single day. That's why we believe in our church about hope and freedom and transformation through Jesus. This is an ongoing thing in each of our lives, that we are continually transformed by Jesus, that Jesus is invited to be the game changer in our lives every single day for the rest of our lives. Some of you might be here thinking, well, you know what? I actually need Jesus to be the game changer in my life right now because things aren't going well. I need Jesus to be the game changer in my health. I need Jesus to be the game changer in my marriage. I need Jesus to be the game changer in the decisions I'm making about employment and study. I need Jesus to be the game changer in how I'm raising my children. I want Jesus to be the game changer in big decisions and financial decisions I have to make. And you know what? Jesus wants to be exactly that person in your life. So I invite the band to join me up here this morning. Often at the end of our service, we have a time where you can come and you can kneel, you can pray, you can seek God. There might be some of you today that want to pray, perhaps for the first time, and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and choose to follow him and worship him. Some of you might want to ask that Jesus be the game changer in a particular issue or something that's going on in your life. Also encourage you, if you feel comfortable, you can come and kneel. People will pray for you. And you can see and experience for yourself Jesus being the game changer. Let me pray. Well, God, we want to thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to literally be a game changer, to fill people with hope, to give freedom, and to transform lives. God, thank you that you have been sent Jesus to be the game changer in so many of lives here in this church. We praise you. We say thank you for that. And Jesus, we say we don't want that to stop. Continue to be the game changer. Continue to have your way in our lives. Continue to have more people come to know you. And Lord, that this church can grow and be a game-changing church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.